Remember those days of childhood, sitting out on the porch in summer, reading a good book?
Well, guess what? You can still do that. No one is stopping you. In fact, we're going to make it even easier. When you subscribe for a yearly EPP membership or renew your yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th, we will give you a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters, Told by Real People. All you have to do is sign up for a yearly EPP membership, upgrade to a yearly EPP membership, or renew a yearly EPP membership between now and July 15th. Email me direct, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com, and let me know you did that, and I will then personally send you an e-copy of our book for you to sit out on the porch, relax. Turn the lights off. That's kind of hard to read with the lights off. Use a flashlight or do whatever you want, really. But it's an e-copy of the book you can enjoy this summer. Check it out. Help keep us on the air and enjoy getting a free copy of the book when you sign up for a yearly EPP membership with Real Ghost Stories Online. And thanks for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a paranormal encounter save a woman's life? A grandmother's sudden passing leaves a family questioning her return. And what caused a small child to see a mysterious hand coming from the sky?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in your story, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file if you record it on your smart device, iPad, whatever you got going on there, and send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today for some
Tony
ghost enjoyment. Carol, welcome.
Thank you.
I heard you were you're planning a little vacation, and I heard that in the planning phases of this vacation, it, as it does for many, took a little bit of a paranormal twist. Is that accurate?
Well, you know me, I love my baseball.
Yeah.
So in the summer, if I plan a vacation, it has to do with the Chicago Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I was talking to a friend of mine last night who works for a big hotel chain, and he goes around the country, and he is a trainer.
Yep.
So I'm like, wait a minute. I want to go to St. Louis and see the Chicago beat the Cubs. I mean,
see the Cubs beat the Cardinals.
Lately, the way they've been playing, they've been kind of beating themselves. But anyways, so I said, is there one of your hotels nearby? Like, could you hook me up with a deal? And he's like, yeah, I think I could. And I go, that would be awesome. And so I'm all excited about it. And then he says, yeah, it's an old hotel that we totally renovated. And I said, is it haunted? And without missing a beat, he says, absolutely. So my question is, do you get the good guy discount and stay at the haunted hotel, or do you spend a little bit more money and hopefully find one that's not haunted? Would you sleep well? I don't know.
I don't know. I've only had good luck at haunted hotels. Honestly, it's been some of the best sleep of my life. I'm not even kidding. The experiences I've had, two that I know of that they were haunted. That's the whole lore of them, and it's not just kind of like you ask around and find out if it's haunted. Like, they play it up. And both times, I slept the entire night through, and I never sleep the entire night through. Like, at home, I'm getting up 2-3 times a night. But I don't know. It was weird.
See, Tony, that's super awesome for you.
Yeah.
But I'm not like that. I'm the person laying awake in bed all night long thinking something's going to grab my foot or stare at me.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm going to wake up. It's going to be there, so I can't fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. But you know, it's kind of a long drive there and back. I do want to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
it could be
if it's a cool old hotel, it would be kind of fun to stay there, too.
You get a story out of it. Think of that. Do it for the show.
Right?
Go sleep apnea.
So speaking of stories, so he was telling me about another location they have that is totally haunted. And he said that they have a lot of flight attendants that stay there and that they will literally go check into their rooms, leave their bags there, get a pillow and a blanket, and go sleep in the lobby. Is that crazy? And I'm like a lot? He goes, oh, yeah. It's not uncommon at all to see 4 or 5 people sleeping in the lobby at night.
I would be, what would your reaction be if you walk into the hotel and people are sleeping in the lobby and you don't know anything about why?
You would assume that they don't have enough room and these poor travelers, they can't find another place to stay. I guess that's what you would assume, but. Yeah. That's just so crazy.
Nope, just
haunted. You have a nice comfy bed, but you choose to sleep in the lobby.
I wonder if there's like Yelp reviews or TripAdvisor reviews of places like that, or the one you're talking about, which we won't say the name of. If that's on any of those things, or if they kind of weed out paranormal instances or reviews of a hotel, like just because they say, well, you can't really prove this. You know, I guess you could say, you know, housekeeping didn't do the room right, but you can't really prove that there was a figure in your room that disappeared.
Right.
But
there's a secret Facebook group for flight attendants.
Oh, yeah.
And they have all kinds of scoop like that on there.
And they got to know what places are like that. That's interesting. I had a friend years ago who was a flight attendant. I don't know if she is anymore, but that'd be a good question to ask just out of random curiosity. It would also be really...
You don't get a choice. They put you up.
You can't like, oh, I want that other hotel. And that's probably not something you can go to your employer and say, hey, let's stop using that one because it's really haunted. That might...
we're getting a really good deal. Yeah. You will sleep there.
And they'll be like, and you're going to be mentally evaluated now because we don't really trust you. Oh, that's a good story. Well, I don't know. Do you know what you're going to do yet? Have you decided?
I'll tell you in a couple days.
Still on the fence.
I'll let you know.
All right. Let's go to our first.
Depends on the discount.
Exactly. Let's go to our first story. It starts and it says, a ghost saved my life. Hi, guys. I had to finally got the time to write this in. I sent in a story a couple years ago about the 70s ghost that I potentially sent to the other side, and I had seen his full apparition. Anyway, in 2005, I lived with my boyfriend in a house in an old part of Austin, Texas. It was built in about 1953. It was apparently an ancient style, small, unique layout of a home. His parents had lived there for a brief time before we did while they were building their other house. They had also spent many thousands of dollars updating the home with a new kitchen, real estate floor, paint, etc. We loved it. It was so cool with different color schemes in all the rooms. I have 3 exciting happenings that are mind-boggling in this house. I jokingly call the house of 17 ghosts. Once we had been out having fun downtown, and when we came back home at about 2 a.m., I was standing in the doorway to the kitchen. And from that vantage point, I was facing the front door room area. There stood an old lady about 75, 80 years old, just watching. She was a white lady, very tall and thin, with floor-length pink satin gown with white hair up in a large bun on her head. Up to this point, I always said there's a lady here guarding the home. I just had that sense. When I saw her, I screamed, there she is, and it scared the shit out of me. My boyfriend wasn't looking that direction, but she was gone when he turned around. I mentioned this to his mother, and she said, yep, that's the same one I saw. So I knew I wasn't imagining things. Another time, we had been measuring a cutout in the living room to buy some canvases and for project visuals from our projection television. He had the tape measure. I had a pen and a paper to write down the measurements, and he did that, and I turned around to go sit back down on the couch, and he said, where's the tape measure? And I said, you have it. He said, no, I don't. We started looking everywhere, and such a bizarre thing to happen, he just had it in his hands. It was then on the other side of the room. He had his DJ deck set up there, and he looked over where we were, not near any point of us measuring the cutout, and there lay the tape measure. All we did was turn around and somehow something took it out of his hand and put it somewhere else. The most odd thing I have to for an explanation for this is I've been very sick and I had a fever. We had a very squishy-ish leather couch that was very comfortable, so I liked lying on it while I was sick at the time. I'd been sleeping. My boyfriend was in the kitchen messing with something for a while. He was not near me or messing with me, just letting me rest. Suddenly, I was picked up and thrown onto my back, and my head hit the bare slate floor. I came to, and I remember him rushing over from the kitchen and screaming. I was very upset, not knowing what the heck had just happened. There's no way I could have been as far from the couch as I was if I was just sleeping, and I sunk into the couch and slid off. I got about 5 feet away. I got a concussion from this, and I'm guessing I was maybe about to die because I had a really high fever with a mystery illness or something. I have no explanation. I know I got a concussion because I started asking the questions to see if he started asking me questions to see if I needed to go to the hospital, and I got some questions right, but then I said, I don't know how old my son is, and that was terrifying. And for a few days, I felt like I was in a dream. Also, I had to always say, shut up, to a father and son's voices who fought and maybe had lived there before. I hope this story is good enough for EPP. I love your guys' show very much, and I listen every day at work. You make my droning days fly by. All the best to you and everyone. I've been an EPP on and off for 3 years now, and I crack up laughing at work to all of you. Thank you so much, Sherry. So what do you think of that, being thrown off the couch, just a constant something going on there?
You know, she didn't say, like, I would have moved immediately. Come on, you got a concussion. My God.
I think at that point,
like, you would have had to have been thrown really hard. That's not just falling off the sofa like, you know, your fever made you delirious. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's serious stuff.
I agree.
She doesn't say anything about feeling threatened necessarily before then. The old woman seemed to be cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's rare we hear stories where people are physically harmed. There's a lot of mental abuse going on from the other side where people, you know, they're just tormented by things left and right. But it's rare where it's something where it's like, oh, my gosh, this could physically harm you and quite seriously. I think that would be the point where, you know, I would be saying, you know, I'm done and I'm out. And really, it probably should be the other way around because, you know, the mental abuse and the mental trauma that you can go through in some of these situations is much more long lasting than just, you know, being thrown off a couch or something, unless it resulted in serious injury.
Like it did with her.
Like it did with her. Exactly. Exactly. So many times you hear like you got pushed or shoved and it's like, that was it. That was the thing that made me go. But the 5 years of hearing the voices, you know, say they're going to kill you seem to be an okay thing. It's just those are the things that are going to last with you for many, many years to come.
Well, that's crazy because after the concussion, she was hearing voices and telling him to shut up.
Yeah,
I've had a concussion. I never heard voices with my concussion.
No?
No.
I've never.
I seemed kind of crazy, but I did not hear voices.
I've never had a concussion. I've never really had any sort of head injury. What was it like? Share with us.
Oh, it was crazy because I realized I'd had the concussion when I went to make a phone call. I was at work and I went to pick up the phone and I knew I had to hit buttons and I didn't know how that worked. It's like there's a sequence of numbers, but how do you know what they are?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it was numbers, like I couldn't remember my PIN number, so I couldn't get money. Anything with numbers had me totally messed up. And then it kind of caused my brain to short, like I'd be talking and then it would just stop. And then I would tell people, I had a concussion, just a second, which I made a really weird waitress because I was a waitress at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be like taking the order, wait a minute, I had a concussion. But I got really good tips.
Penny tips.
Their bills were all messed up since I was bad with numbers.
Oh,
I only
gosh.
Thought I was making good tips because I wasn't charging anybody enough. It was a really scary thing because it's like, am I going to be stuck like this forever?
Sure.
I think it was 2 weeks actually before I could wait tables.
Oh, wow. So that, it lasted
but it was
that
about
long.
A month.
Wow.
Before my numbers came back.
It wasn't just like a couple hour thing and then you were...
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
The only weird thing I've ever had, and at first I was like, is something paranormal going on? Actually happened at work. It happened at the radio station where you and I worked together. And I don't know what it was. Actually, I think I figured it out. I think I drank water, too much of it too quickly, which can actually do bad things to your brain, believe it or not. I had one of those giant, like, life water bottles or something. It was just like an egregious amount of water. And for whatever reason, I'm like, I'm just going to chug this. And I was ready to leave. And I'm the only one there aside from one of our engineers, Bryce, who was across the hall. And I'm standing there in the studio looking at the computer. And I couldn't read any of the song titles or artist names. Everything, it looked scrambled to me. And I could see like letters clearly, but nothing was in order. And I thought the computer was glitching. I thought there was just something wrong. And my first reaction was, oh, I'm going to go tell our engineer there's something wrong with the computer. And as I'm walking out, there was a newspaper sitting on the console there. And I looked at just glanced at it for a second. And that, like, something looks weird here. And all the headlines, the letters were completely scrambled. And I couldn't read anything. And it was so weird. And then I'm like, oh, my God, am I having a stroke or something?
Right.
And, you know, I was only about like 28 or so at the time. And and I'm like, what is going on? And I walked in and I just sat in his office. I said, I don't know what's going on, but here's what just happened. Can you keep an eye on me for a few minutes and help me figure this out? And he's like, okay, just, you know, take some deep breaths. And then we walked back in the studio and everything was fine. And I could read everything again. The only thing I can attribute it to is that water thing. And I've read about that where it's almost like the beginning states of drowning, where if you overdo your water intake or really any liquid intake, it can screw with your brain. It's the same way that woman died who was in that radio contest of hold your Wii for a Wii like 15 years back. Where you can drown yourself. And I didn't think I had drinking that much water, but apparently I was kind of on the tipping point of it. it was freaky because it almost seemed paranormal, but no, I think it was just my brain chemistry was messed up. So
you should just say it's paranormal.
I should just stick with that.
I wonder with that woman who had the concussion though, like, I would be so afraid to stay in that house. It's like, if you could do that to me while I'm sick, what else could you do? Like, I wonder how long she stayed there afterwards and if it left her alone.
That's a scary thing. You just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another story. It says, hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm from Finland. I've been listening to you every day for the last few weeks, and I'm thankful for your show. I'm not yet an EPP, so I hope you'll share this on the air. By listening to all of these stories on your show, I got the urge to tell you mine also. Despite my experiences, I'm still a skeptic, but I can assure you that this is indeed true. A few years ago, my grandma died of cancer after many years of battle. Of all of my relatives except my mom, dad, and my brother, my grandma stood me the closest, and her death was a massive loss to me. At that time, I was only about 13 years old. One night about a year after her death, when I was lying in my bed trying to fall asleep, I felt this light breeze at my ear, just like someone was breathing through their nose right into my ear. I was facing the wall, so I quickly rolled over, but no one was there. I got up to see if any door or window was open, but all of them were closed. I got a bit freaked out, but I went back to my bed, and after a while, I managed to fall asleep, only to be woken up by the same kind of breeze in my ear. I opened my eyes again, but no one was there. I didn't get any sleep that night. The night after this, I had this really weird and, to me, scary dream that my grandma's face was floating in the air with an all-white background. Her face had this angel-like glow, and she had her eyes closed while smiling. She then started humming a high-pitched noise and still smiling. But this humming turned into this painful screaming, and she had this look on her face that she was in a lot of pain, like something was torturing her. I immediately woke up petrified, and I didn't know what to think about the dream. Needless to say, I didn't get any sleep that night either. For a few months after that, I started hearing weird bangs and thuds in our house when I was home alone, usually in the basement, but I never found anything that caused those noises. In our shower, we have this nail wedged behind the door trim that my dad uses to lift up the drain cover. Every three or four times when I was in the shower, that pin fell down all by its own. All these things started happening more and more, and I got kind of used to it and just thought it was probably just my grandma trying to make herself noticed to me. But as quickly as these phenomena started happening, they just stopped, and I've never had any experiences after that. But I still get shivers every time I think about my grandma's screaming face in that dream. I really want to hear your opinion of this, since I've never really understood what it was all about. Thank you for an excellent show, and I hope I'll listen to it on the air. Thank you. So you think the grandma was involved in the dream, or is this two separate things? What's your take, Carol?
Well, you know, you always want to think that when your grandma or your loved one visits you in a dream, it's beautiful and they're running and there's rainbows. And like, because he was talking about she's humming and it's all pleasant. And then this scream, and that's not what you think of when you think of a loved one that's passed that's contacting you.
No.
So it's like, did she, and then for him to be hearing things. Mm-hmm. That he, and I think that you can feel like if you, you know what your grandma feels like when she's around.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when someone dies, you can feel that. Mm-hmm. I know I did when my dad died. There was times I could feel him like he was standing there. Mm-hmm. And I knew fully well he wasn't, but I knew that feeling. And, but it's like if she wanted his help with what? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there wasn't any good direction there for him to help.
Yeah. I think there's sometimes the assumption made that when a loved one dies and then sometimes paranormal stuff starts happening around that time, that it must be that loved one. And I don't think that that's always the case. I think sometimes the timing just kind of works out that way. But to assume that it's always that loved one, I don't know if it's accurate, especially where there's just kind of these weird things going on around, but you're not really getting that feeling that it is the loved one. Because you do get, we do get a lot of stories like that where it's just, like, I know it was them. I could feel them. I could tell it was them doing this. This, to me, almost sounds like these weird things started happening. The dream doesn't really correlate that well with what the grandma, you know, probably would have been like or would have been going through. So I'm wondering if this was something else just really messing with them at a time of trouble, a time of distress. And the dream played into it, but the dream really wasn't grandma trying to convey anything. It was might have been just something else that... Weird things were happening. Maybe it was tied into the paranormal. Hard to know. But
do you think that it could have been like when the grandma passed, it kind of opened him up to stuff? And maybe the, you know, the nice breeze, that was his grandmother. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of allowed for more to kind of happen.
I think that can happen. I mean, I think, too, when we're in a time of distress or sadness or depression or what have you, that is often also a time where folks seem to get targeted, too, by not so good things either. Yeah, I mean, it could have been grandma involved there in some way, shape, or form. It's hard to know.
Maybe she brought her crazy brother back with her.
And it's just a big old party. Yeah.
And she never liked him before.
Yeah.
Now she's stuck with him. I don't know, but that doesn't feel like grandmotherly.
It doesn't. And that's why I think it might have been something else, and the timing just happened to be what it was. Hard to know for sure, but that'd be mine.
But I do hope that he's open to... I don't know how long ago that was, but that feeling of knowing that even though your grandmother's passed, you still have that connection. I think that's a very wonderful feeling.
Yeah, I agree.
So I hope he has that.
And it can still be there. It doesn't mean that doesn't exist just because it might have not been her haunting, but that connection can certainly still be there. 855-853-4802, our phone number, and call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Share your ghost story with us. Another letter before we jump to a call. With my son was age 2 to 3. He was very creative and funny and an absolute joy to have around. When he was small, he would wave out the car window like many kids do. And when I asked him who he was waving at, because sometimes there were no cars next to us to wave at, he would say, "God's waving at me." I was a little surprised, but also laughed because that seems so funny to say. Also because I didn't take him to church enough for me to think that he would remember the idea of God of sorts, especially at that age. So when he was 4, we were playing outside and he was taking random pictures with a disposable camera. A cardboard had ones with the film wrapped in it. I went soon after that to develop them, and when I was tossing out the ones not worth keeping, I grabbed one back and said to myself, "Hey, wait a second." I looked closer, and there in the sky, he took a random photo. It was a very obvious, huge hand in the sky, and you could see all the details of a palm, a thumb, all 5 fingers in the sky, shaped by a cloud matter. Also, in the far corner of the photo was a round face with distinct eye holes. I don't know what to think of this, but that it could be one of the most awesome photos I've ever seen. We've moved multiple times since then, and I have no idea where this photo is now. I tried to keep it safe, but I sure hope I come across it again. Unfortunately, he doesn't believe in a God of sorts now, but I could prove that something exists to him, I think. He's so very skeptical, and no matter how many stories I've told him, it has happened to me. He still thinks it's all in my head. But on the opposite side, my other son is a true believer and has tons of experience and video and photos and has seen full apparitions. Very strange. I mean, EPP, totally love you guys. Sent you the story about my very haunted, scary house in Austin in 2005. Love and best wishes to everyone. All right. Thoughts on this
one? Is that the same lady who had the concussion?
No, this is different.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is so interesting how her two kids could be so different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, similar, obviously, when they were small.
Sure.
But they're, you know, it's like you look at them and they're raised the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so different.
Welcome to my world.
Your kids are very different. They're adorable. They both are. But they are very different children.
Oh, yeah. Completely. I mean, it's just, it's how people are, you know, it's like sometimes, I mean, you certainly have some similarities and such, but, you know, it really says a lot about nature versus nurture and a lot of things too, when you have such different personalities and different ways and views of things. And that's really what I think this comes down to. And this one is the view on the paranormal or the acceptance of it. And, you know, for some people, I think not accepting that it might be out there is just more of a safe play than it is like a strong belief. It may just be more so this would be really too much to process if in fact some of this is really going on.
I would love to see that photo. It's too bad she lost it. Because nowadays, I don't really trust anything I see. Like, sure. Look at this angel coming out of a car accident. And I'm like, yeah, Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly. That's
my default, Photoshop. But back then, you had to send it in to get it developed.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be fascinating to see that picture.
There was a really creepy photo that... maybe you've even seen it. It was on one of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts a couple months ago. And it was actually sent to me by a mutual friend of ours. Ian sent it to me. He texted it to me one day and he told me where he got it from and he knew the person who took it. So there was it wasn't just like, hey, I saw this on Facebook, take a look. And it was of a car accident scene and there was a car burning. And then right next to it was another vehicle. And on top of the vehicle, it looked like two. If you were to like paint a picture of two demon type creatures standing on top of this, or like this laying, like almost like kids laying down in a car, just like watching the other one burn in delight. That's what it looked like. And like I said, it's on the Seeing Ghosts episode, but it was so creepy. And when he sent it to me, he just said, okay, I'm not going to tell you anything about this. What do you see in this picture? And that's what I described. And he said, yeah, me too. And it turned out the person who was burning in the car was apparently a child predator of some sort.
No.
And yeah, and had quite a history. And so that's kind of weird how it all tied in where this demonish thing is right. I don't know. It was weird. It was one of the best and one of the most creepy ghost photos I think I've ever seen. But that just came to mind where you said, you know, the photo of the angel or something. Not exactly angel, but yeah, we've seen those. Like we've seen like the angel ones in a car. I've never seen like the demons watching someone burn in the car. That was
that woman who with that photo, which I wish we could. I bet she really wishes she could find it. But the fact that her kid had always been waving at God.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sweet. But I think that's so crazy. And then he takes that picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
When's the last time you used a disposable camera?
Well, my mom still does.
Okay.
When she's on vacation.
I could almost like imagine walking into a store and then like showing it to one of the, you know, 17-year-old associates there going, where do I take this? And them just looking extremely confused, like, what is that thing?
Well, she handed it to me to take a picture of her with somebody. And like, I held it back from my face like you do with your phone.
Sure.
And I'm like, how do I take the picture?
You forgot.
I'm like, how does this work? I don't remember.
It's been that long.
I know.
I remember I had God, you know what? I think I actually, I don't know if I, I probably do not have them anymore. The last time I think I had one was actually my first marriage, which didn't last very long at all. But I think we used disposable cameras for the like the party thing. And I don't think we ever developed any of them because like the marriage ended like a couple weeks later.
I was going to say you weren't married long enough.
But I think like they were like in a box somewhere. I think I found them years ago and then just threw them away. It's like, whatever.
It isn't even worth the money.
I know. It's just like, oh, there you go. But I did. I
remember that one.
Yeah. I did have a, I did find a disposable camera, not from that event, but from, I think I got it when I was like 16 or so. And I found it in a box of just stuff, probably about, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. And I'm like, oh my God, I got this for like my 16th birthday or something. And I decided to go and finally get it developed. And it was like pictures of my room in high school and at me in high school. And it was just this little time capsule nugget that
That's
had never
cool.
been developed. And it was just pictures I'd never seen. It was kind of neat to see. Remember those, like everyone used those or used to use those disposable cameras. I honestly didn't know that they were even still around. That's neat. 855-853-4802 is our number. A Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump over to another call. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jen. This is Dave again from Middle Georgia. I just wanted to call. I just heard my last story on the program, and Miss Jenny had asked if, since the house had been added on to 4 different times, if we've seen the spirits anywhere except for one area of the house. And the answer is yes, we saw them in all the rooms. And my mother-in-law even heard them talking outside when she lived out there in her Airstream trailer. And I also wanted to tell a few more stories about that house. I called my daughter and had her listen to the podcast. And she reminded me of a few things. And one of them was that we could never get them to clean their room. They shared a room. And, you know, no matter what we did, threats or promises. And I can remember coming home one day and the room was spotless clean. And when I asked my middle daughter, you know, hey, what'd it take you to clean this room? She said that the lady in the closet had asked them to. And they didn't seem very frightened about it, so I didn't think much of it and just went on, happy that it was finally clean. They had a lot of toys. Another thing is that my oldest daughter told me that she used to hear her younger sister, my middle daughter, she used to hear her in the room talking to someone all the time. And she never went in there when she heard Kristen talking. She said she didn't really think much of it. She just got up and walked outside. My wife had told me that she had taken a nap in the guest room. My wife really likes to take naps. I think it's in her DNA. And she said when she had woken up one day and she was getting out of a bed that a black shadow formed in one of the corners of the room, but it disappeared just as quickly as it had formed. And one of the things I forgot to tell you the last time I called in about this house that I really wanted to, the day that we were moving out, you know how you go through every nook and cranny to make sure that you didn't leave anything, and you usually end up doing it 2 or 3 times. And in the room that I assume was the original kitchen had been turned into a little playroom. In the corner, it had a desk that had been built with plywood. It wasn't nothing fancy, but it was built into the house. And way up at the top were these cabinets where you had to slide one door all the way to one side just to get to that half of it. Well, I grabbed a chair and got up there thinking maybe Kim might have put something up there. And when I opened it, I found this little shoebox-sized container that someone had, you know, they put fabric in it, made it real pretty. Well, when I opened it up, there were a bunch of pictures in it from, you know, the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And after going through them a while, I came across one that it showed the picture of the older lady and the two older gentlemen that I'd seen in my dream the very first night I was there. And, of course, as soon as I saw that, the first thing that came to my mind was, what the hell is this, some type of movie or something? But that was the last few things I wanted to tell you about that house. and go on to tell you a story about the very first house Kim and I moved into when we first got married. I was still in the Army, and she was going to Georgia Southern University. And we moved into the house, and no one had ever lived there. And one of the things that it seemed to happen about once a month, and I really never kept track of it, so, you know, the time of day or anything like that, or what day of the month it was, but we would always hear and feel large crashes, like a wardrobe had come tipping over and crashing down, but we never found anything that had tipped over in the house. And, you know, it was weird, but it wasn't weird enough to make us want to get up and leave the house. Another thing that I want to tell you about that house is there was a wall that separated the living room and the dining room. And in the middle of the wall were these three little windows that had etched pictures in them, and the whole glass was etched. You couldn't see through the glass clearly, but it was light enough to where it would allow light to go from one room to the other. And I was sitting on the couch one day with my feet up on the couch, you know, like your wives never always tell you never to do. And as I was sitting there reading a book, those three windows are about head level, and I saw a shadow walk past all three of them. Well, that wall ended about a foot and a half past the end of the couch, and I was expecting someone to walk down through the kitchen, but I never saw anything. And I got up and went in there, and I looked everywhere, and I didn't see anybody in the house because, to the best of my knowledge, I was the only one home. And the last thing I want to tell you about, well, not the last thing, I'm sorry. I will tell you that when Kim became pregnant, and, you know, we were both pretty young, and we really didn't know how to be married. We were both pretty kind of immature. When she became pregnant and hormones started kicking in, we would argue a lot, and we would argue about everything. And it seems like every time we did have an argument, when we would lay down in bed at night, I would feel somebody take their thumb and kind of dig it into my back, or they would pinch me on my arm. And, you know, I'd be laying on my side facing Kim with my back towards the wall, and I know it wasn't her. And a couple of times that it happened, I got up and I went into the bathroom and turned the light on, looked in the mirror, and you could see little red dots where this had happened. And so I just figured that it was somebody from Kim's side of the family coming back to watch over her while she was pregnant, because of all the things that had happened in the house, there had been no physical contact until Kim had gotten pregnant. And after the baby was born, nothing ever happened like that again. And the last thing I want to tell you about the house is the night we were moving out of that, we moved a lot. That house, I'd been in the volunteer fire department down there for several years, and a bunch of the guys had come over to help me move. And the truck had gone off to the next house, and I was going to stay in this house the night because the only thing that was left to move was the couch and our TV. And my buddy Brian, he was over, and, you know, we'd been moving things in and out all day long, so the door was open and it was kind of hot in the house, and he asked if he could turn the air conditioner on. And I told him yes, and I told him where it was. And he'd gone in there to turn it, and he was gone for, I guess, what I thought was a unregularly long time. So when I went up to go check on him, he was staring at the pantry in my kitchen. And when I said, "Hey, Brian, what's going on?" he turned to me, and there was an awestruck look on his face. And I noticed he wasn't blinking very much. And he said, "Hey, I just saw somebody walk through this door." And I was like, "What? What'd you say?" And he said, "Hey, I got to go." And so he just left. He walked straight out the door. And I could never get him to talk anymore about it. And so those are the stories that went on while we lived in that house. And again, you guys keep up the great work, and I'll call in later with more stories.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. What do you make? Lots and lots going on in that place.
Dude, And to me, it almost makes me think it's kind of connected to him. Mm-hmm. Like, number one, there's a lady telling his kids to clean their room. Wouldn't everybody like that? But, you know, that's like somebody looking after his kids. And then when his wife's pregnant, and they're arguing, somebody's mad at him because she's pregnant with his kid. It's mm-hmm. like, leave her alone. You know, so it makes me wonder if he's like one of those people who are really open to that.
Where it's just happening and it's... Is it, you think it's like a protective spirit of someone else around him, though? Or is it like someone that's almost just like kind of sitting there critiquing him throughout his life from the other side?
Yeah, it sounds like a mother.
Okay.
Like that kind of, you know.
Sure.
Spirit.
Yeah.
But then like the loud crashes and things that he heard. But I just have to wonder if he's just one of those people who's really open to that because he's lived so many places. Mm-hmm. That he's had experiences in.
I could very much
see
that.
Is it the places? Is it a little bit him at the same time? Probably, I think some people are so open to that.
Yeah, it's probably a bit of both, where it's, you know, the more places you are, the more you see, the more you experience, the more likely you're going to have more of these experiences. And if you're on the scale of being able to pick this stuff up really, really well, you're going to have a lot more than the average person, I guess.
And by the way, what a nice guy. He's in the military and volunteer firefighter.
Yes.
Like, you got to like him.
That's a good guy. That's a very good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that story with us today. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, become an EPP extra podcast person on our website at ghostpodcast.com. You get access to every single bonus episode, more than 200 of them now, with our best stories for you to binge away on at ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.